And they're at the 28, and they need a touchdown. Snap to Prescott, back and standing, and fires it left, and it's caught. Pickens circles away. 10, 5, Pickens, pylon, Pickens. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Three touchdowns right there. KNC Masterpiece on 105 through the Fan, and it's time for some Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day. So let's start with that very George Pickens, and I really liked what he said at the end of last week, talking about his second training camp with the Cowboys. He said, last year I was learning the plays while trying to learn some of the guys. I was thinking. I was learning so much to where I was making plays, but now I'm playing faster. And you can't help but think how that could translate into the actual season. And he had a captivatingly awesome season last year. Can you imagine if whether it's he feels more comfortable physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever the case might be, that he could be even better?
Yeah. I mean, because now what you've done, the comfort part's important, I think. The part of being like, okay, I know the guys, they know what to expect from me. I do think there is something, though, with discomfort that makes you a little bit better because you always feel like you have to prove yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in this mindset. But if you're already one of those kind of people, then you don't need that. But there is something about going into a room and going, I got to show these guys. Sometimes you press too hard. Sometimes you just elevate what your real skills are. But I think the most important thing for me is he's one of those guys, listening to him talk to G-Bag, and listening to him talk about the chess game, for me, and I discussed this a little bit yesterday with when I was talking with Mickey, is now I think he can get more creative in what he's doing. And that's where I think he's going to be better or just as good. Because when you know the plays, you can go out there and run them. But then when you know the plays and you see something in the defense because you know what this is and you also know your quarterback's thinking the same thing because he sees what you see, that's when you can really do some nasty stuff to an opponent. And that's my expectation, is that this year they take it to an even better place where you'll see some moments where that play shouldn't have happened that way, but it did because they were on the same page together.
Now, I want to ask both of y'all this. Corey, does the Dallas Cowboys preseason record matter?
It shouldn't. Without any of your starters or most of their starters playing, it's a real like gamble. But I do understand if on Kalshi. I do understand saying even our second team guys are better. And I do think that's an important thing.
Agreed.
And know what they're doing and can go out there and not look foolish. So it shouldn't, but it does.
Alec, does the Dallas Cowboys preseason record matter? You remember the very famous story that Jerry loves to say is in 89, they went 3-1 in the preseason. He's like, here we go. And they were the worst effing team in football.
Generally, I say no. This year, I will say yes, because I've felt so bad about the depth on this team for the past probably two seasons, where I'm like, okay, I think we have competitive players that can come in and fill positions when needed. So I'd say this year, yes, but generally no.
So remember, I told you it had been 9 years since the Cowboys won their first preseason game. How long do you think it's been since they won their first two preseason games, which they now have?
84 years.
They've not been around that long, but I believe that was a Titanic reference.
That?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say 30 years.
Okay. It's only been 19 years.
Oh.
I say only.
So we didn't win a Super Bowl that year either, huh?
That is true.
Hey, man.
But.
Hey, Jerry. What's up?
But.
Glad to know he's there.
Just worry about the first part of what I'm going to tell you. Don't worry about what happened after that. That year was 2007. The Cowboys finished 13-3 and were the number one seed in the NFC. Again, don't worry about what happened after that. 13-3.
So if you think the Cowboys can win 13-plus games on Kalshi, I believe it's at like 19%.
If you think that, you can make a truckload of money, and I had to change what I was going to say on that. So, yes, I agree with that, and I think I might be prepared to raise my record prediction to 10-7. I'm still thinking it over, but I think I'm prepared to move from 9-8 to 10-7. So I just wanted to throw that out there for whatever it's worth, because I'm usually inclined to agree with y'all about preseason, but I do think the depth on depth is encouraging for the Cowboys.
Honestly, I needed to see the Barham play. I needed to see him play to get an idea of what we have. And quite honestly, I think we have a monster in the middle right now. And that's, again, it's against one of the worst rosters on the planet,
right,
in Arizona. But I needed to see how he moved. And I feel like I got a vision for what they want to do with him now. Christian Parker talked about that, right? When we drafted him, we had an idea. It's starting to come to fruition, and that's what it looked like to me. So I needed to see that. Some of these corners, I needed to see Revel get out there on the field.
Yeah.
To start believing that they can actually do this against pro guys, too, and I think they can.
So yesterday...
Still going to take some time, though, in my mind.
Yesterday, Shoddy was talking about Marquise Bell, because there's been a lot of buzz about, oh, Marquise Bell, why is he not playing? Why is he not getting these snaps? Is he going to make this roster? So Shoddy jumped out there and said, Marquise Bell is one of our most trusted players on special teams.
Okay.
All right?
So is C.J. Goodwin.
It kind of feels that way just a little bit. So with that in mind, you can talk about Marquise Bell if you like, of course. But I also want to ask, does Maris Leofau then have a place on this team? Because it does feel like people are stoked about him special teams-wise. That's why I say, does he have a place on this team and maybe not necessarily on this defense?
The way that he was going to make the team was special teams anyway. How many special teams aces can you have?
I was just wondering
if you're
that,
keeping three quarterbacks.
If you're keeping three quarterbacks, you cannot keep
and,
both of them.
And you also have to consider the possibility that one of your edges or one of your linebackers might end up getting hurt.
Sure.
So, like, I think he has a role, but Kevin, I'll be honest, I've also watched some of him, and I've been like, it doesn't look any different than it has in the past.
Right.
And so if that's the case, then that's where I would say, nah, he doesn't.
Okay. I think I've started to change my mind about this, because I've really been thinking about, you know, we talked about yesterday, I think, the Dallas Morning News and their roster projections. And you went really heavy out of offensive line with 11. Now, I think that's probably at least one too many. But then I started to think, if special teams coverage-wise was such a problem for you, can you not find a workaround where you're like, hey, I need this guy for special teams?
Is he that much of a difference for you on special teams?
It does appear as though the coaches think that. Like, they have said some really positive things about him on special teams. So I'm not here to argue that Maris Leofau should replace this person or that person or the other person, like, defensively. But I do wonder if you're like, hey, we're going to go one light at this backup position because we think Leofau can make an impact on special teams, just like we think Bell can make an impact on special teams.
But
just kind of thinking out loud.
But you, at this point, you wouldn't say one light at receiver with Cam Brown and Mingo, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, obviously, my default is always going to be immediately go light at corner, at quarterback. But that might not get you all the way. That might only get you one person,
mm-hmm,
and then could still leave Leofau out of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, I know it's weird because I'm with you. I would much rather have two quarterbacks than three. But I also feel like, because after you see Joe Milton, you're like, man, we're pretty fortunate here with what he's done the last two games. He looks like he's figured it out a little bit. And then with Sam Howell, not that he's blown the lid off of anything, but I also feel like you kind of have a pretty good backup in him if you have him around.
Right.
Like, I just feel like I'm pretty confident that he'll be able to go do something that looks like a reasonable quarterback and doesn't look like Ben DiNucci. that was a tough one,
dude. Of the hat empire.
Yeah, and so that's where I'm like, hey, you know, and I know the Joneses sometimes feel this, we got a plethora of these things. Why would we let one of them go? Well, because you got to figure out these other roster spots. But at this point, Kevin, I don't know if I'm ready to move on from that. but Leafau hasn't shown me anything defensively that makes me say okay.
I gotcha.
And I can't say that the special teams, that I've paid enough attention to him on special teams to say he's earned whatever to get there. I feel like we're just kind of waiting time for him.
Now let's go to Jaden Blue, who he said he was talking to one of the guys from DallasCowboys.com. And I really love...
On the internet.
That's right. Well, it was in real life, but
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Then it made its way to the internet.
Yeah.
And Jaden Blue said, of course my speed will stand out, but I think that I'm also a tough runner. This is the part I liked. I can run between the tackles, and it might sound crazy, but I'd rather run between the tackles than run outside zone and stuff like that. I'm trying to perfect my game at every level, not just in the passing game. So, obviously, a lot of people have talked about either pass-catching ability or pass-block ability, but what do you think about the concept of I'd rather run between the tackles than run on the outside? Do you want to see that, and is that the proper usage of his skill set?
Yes. Both. For him, okay?
Okay.
I think him, and I've seen him do it between the tackles a couple times, too. Last year, he ran between the tackles, and those were some good plays for him. If you go line up, Kevin, and that linebacker goes, oh, Jaden Blue's in the game, outside. Outside sweep, guys. Don't worry about it. We know what we're doing out there.
But you can go more or less up the gut.
But if you can go both in and out, then they're going to say, well, we got to protect this A-gap here. You know, like, and then, so that creates a second that gives Blue that much more speed. And so, yeah, I've seen him run in there before. I don't necessarily need to see him go in there and plow through a linebacker, but I can see him go in there and find that hole, hit it, and be gone. And so, yes, absolutely. I would love to see that from him a little bit more because I think he can be a home run on a cutback. I think he can be a home run on an outside sweep. He just needs those opportunities in real game against real opponents.
From the 469, how can you predict the Cowboys' record if we haven't seen the starters play? It's the backups that are playing pretty well. That's where it goes back to being there in Oxnard for training camp and seeing everything and hearing everything.
Yeah, the starters, most of the starters offensively look like they already did.
Yeah.
Except for Steele.
That is true. And the joint practices and everything like that. It's that level against other competitions or even intra-squad competition that you're like, hold on, this looks a little bit different. You can see that the secondary looks a little bit different. Now, I'm not willing to say all the way different, of course, or else I'd have been like, oh, they're easily 12-5. But I've seen enough that I think 10-7 feels more feasible than I would have thought prior to the start of the season.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I have some other questions about the linebacker adjustments and how that's going to look. Now
sure.
That Barham's shown us that. And how that's going to be. So,
which is what you always hope coming out of training camp, right? Is you hope that you get to higher levels of problems
yeah.
where you're not like, I don't know who the hell's going to be the 10th or
11th. Is somebody on the street we can go sign better than this guy?
Yeah.
That's what last year was.
And instead, you're like, ooh, is this now our primary backup because this guy is just better than we anticipated? Those are obviously the far better questions that come out of training camp.
Real quick, Kevin, according to Stephen Holder, Anthony Richardson Sr. will start the Colts' final preseason game against the Lions, and Shane Steichen said they will play the starters outside of Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor, but they will have starters out there for a series or two so Anthony Richardson can be behind starters.
It's very smart.
If you want to trade him.
Exactly.